Rishus Marina Rav Shlita.
Well, this is apparently a topic which has already been discussed in a number of other shiurim not long ago. I understand that Yaakov Chaim Heppner gave a shiur on this in the shul 3 or 4 years ago. I understand Avi Friedwald once gave a Friday night shiur on this, and David Levy and Malcolm Toporov told me that just on Friday, the start of the day, the Torah way was on this very subject. So, you know, maybe I should have cancelled this topic and done something else. But we'll see how we go, and they might hear one or two things which were not included in those, hopefully. And in any case, if not, it's Chazara. And apart from that, you can correct me if I say anything wrong. So the obvious question is, why don't we bring carbon Pesach nowadays? We are in a situation where next week we have Pesach. Yes, it's next week. And we're busy preparing for it with all the special dinim and the chumras, and people are so particular. And everyone's doing their spring cleaning and buying the best matzahs and making sure they got nice selections of wines to satisfy everybody. People are busy preparing their houses, getting guests. And Pesach is a fantastic climax of the year. And we have to understand that there is something, though, which is very important to know. And that is, we have a din of Korban Pesach. So why aren't we bringing the Korban Pesach? All right, at the moment we're in London and the Temple Mount is in Yerushalayim, but how long does it take to get there nowadays?
5 hours.
You never get a flight. Well, I'm sure El Al will lay on a few extra flights if they know that we're all going out to bring the Korban Pesach. And you don't have to bring a lamb with you from here. I'm sure you can get one provided there. So why, for goodness sake, can't we bring the Korban Pesach? So you'll say to me, well, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash nowadays. But I'm afraid to tell you that's not the answer. Well, I'm delighted to tell you that's not the answer. We don't need a Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, it's written in Gemara Pesachim, Pei Zayin, Omid Beis, that Rabban Gamliel, who lived 100 years after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash, he told his servant to roast the Korban Pesach. So apparently there had been people who were bringing the Korban Pesach straight after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah in Neduyos, in Perek Ches, Mishnah Vov, says that Korbanos can be brought without the Beis HaMikdash. And this is confirmed by the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vov, Halacha Tes Vov. So we don't need the Beis HaMikdash. And since 1967, Jerusalem has been liberated, and therefore, alright, there is a mosque on it at the moment, and it might be a bit inflammatory if we try going up there doing Korbanos on such a large scale, with the blood of lambs being sprinkled on a Mizbeach. I'm not sure if the wax, if whatever they're called, and the Jordanian government will be overly pleased about it. But, you know, we do have sovereignty, also we have annexed the old city. And so, you know, is it going to bother a few people if we're going to start doing a Korban? And there is, in fact, a large group of people now who are adamant about going up on the Temple Mount just to pray. And you'll recall we did discuss in a shiur aspects relating to ascending Har HaBayis some months ago. And we discuss why it is that we don't go up there nowadays, why we're not allowed to go up there nowadays, especially in certain parts, because we're all Tomei Mace. So you'll say, you see, therefore we can't go up there to bring the Korban Pesach. But there is another halacha, and that is, if Rov Yisrael Tomei, if most of the Jewish people are Tomei, that means 51% above that, then we still bring Korban Pesach. It's a unique din for Korban Pesach. The Mishnah in Pesachim, Daf Ayin Vov, talks about 5 offerings which may be brought when one is Tomei. There's the Korban Omer, the Shtei Alechem, Lechem Aponim, the Shlomim, and the Korban Kurash Chodesh. But the Mishnah says, when they are eaten, you have to be Tohar. You can't be Tomei. So you're okay for Tomei when you're bringing them, but when you eat them, you have to be Tahar. But there's one exception, the Mishnah says. On one Korban only, you are allowed to eat it if you're Tomei, if Rov Yisrael Tomei, and that is the Korban Pesach. And how do we know this? Because the Gemara in the Pesachim just turned up earlier on Samach Lom Amud Beis says, how do we know this din, that if Rov Yisrael Tomei, you don't have to worry, and you still bring the Korban Pesach. So there are a number of answers given. One of them is that in the Din of Pesach Sheni, it talks about Dinim of Pesach Rishon as well. And then it says Ish, Kiyeh B'derech Rechok, B'tomei or B'derech Rechoko. If a man is Tomei or far away from Yerushalayim, then he doesn't have to bring the Korban Pesach in Nisan, but he brings it in Iyar. And there the Gemara says, it says Ish, which is symbolizing the idea of an individual. However, if it were the whole Tzibur, then that din doesn't apply of Tomei. Although the din of Derech Rechoka would apply. What does Derech Rechoka mean? We did discuss this a long time ago. Derech Rechoka means if you're outside a certain radius of Yerushalayim, then you don't have to bring the Korban Pesach. So this is a clear-cut halacha written in the Torah where it's talking about Pesach Sheni, but it applies to Pesach Rishon if you are not within a certain radius of Jerusalem. And Chazal determined that distance to be 15 mil, which is about 15 kilometers, about 8 miles. And if you're outside that radius, you don't have to bring Korban Pesach.
There's a dispute, because one who says that if you're outside Yerushalayim, you're in a Derech Rechoka.
Yeah, well, there's a machlokus shown him about whether Mikdosh is the temple or whether it's Yerushalayim, and therefore how will you measure it. But okay, the Chazal says where Modi'in is, and I think David's brother lives there, where Modi'in is, then that is the radius of what we're talking about. If you're beyond that distance from Yerushalayim, you don't have to come to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach. Now, if a person deliberately goes out of Yerushalayim in order to avoid bringing the Korban Pesach at the times when one is able to, there is a question whether that person might be Chayav Kores. Because Korban Pesach is the only mitzvah saseh, apart from Bris Milah, where if it's not kept, there is a Chayav Kores, a very harsh sort of punishment of excision of the soul from the Jewish people. So, you know, whilst we're busy preparing for Pesach with all the glorious dressing ups that we do for it, nevertheless, we might be overlooking what is an Issur Kores if we're not performing it. So particularly our friends and relations who are in the Yerushalayim area, they surely have a problem. Maybe they should be bringing the Korban Pesach in view of the fact that even though they're Tomei, because Tomei mate doesn't matter anymore, normally you need the Parah Adumah, the red cow, but we don't need it if Rovi Soil Tomei for Korban Pesach. And furthermore, the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdosh is no impediment. And therefore, why aren't we bringing the Korban Pesach? Now, we were talking about the 15 mil, and nowadays, if you can get to Yerushalayim outside those 15 mil, you might ask the question, well, maybe those people also have a chiyuv to go to Yerushalayim. Because if it's, you know, the Mishnah, the Gemara talks about the time it takes to go from Modi'in to Yerushalayim is half a day. You set off walking at 6 o'clock in the morning and you'll get there at Chatzot. So that's the method that Chazal used to determine it. But when Chazal determined this, you know, there were no fast modes of transport. There were no cars and trains and egged buses. And now you can get with a plane from Heathrow Airport to Israel, certainly within 5-6 hours. Mind you, it might be quick from London to Tel Aviv, but from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, well, you might have got lots of traffic. But nevertheless, the idea is there that maybe you should do it. And the Tiferes Yisrael asks this question in the 9th Perek of Pesachim, and he says that initially his view was that yes, maybe the law will change when Mashiach comes. That since 6 hours gives you an ability to travel at least from Haifa or from Yudav Shomron, from Eilat, you can get, even if an Eilat is not Proveret Yisrael, if it's within traveling distance of those 6 hours, then you should go to Yerushalayim and bring the Korban Pesach. But then in a little footnote, he is Chose, he changes his mind. He says, no, I've come across this Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Tzadi Aleph, I think it is, where he says, if you've got a fast horse and you're able to get to Yerushalayim from outside the radius, then do you have to come to Yerushalayim? And the Gemara says, no, you don't have to. Why? Uvaderech lo hoyo. Because the defined distance by Chazal is from Modi'in 15 mil. So if you're outside that, you're not any longer within the context of what Chazal determined. And in his view, that measurement remains fixed for all time. Once Chazal determined 15 mil, then it will always be 15 mil. Even when you're going to have fast transport, because he notes about the trains which had been coming out, he calls them the Eisenbahn, and that in itself will not change the law. So okay, you can feel relaxed that although we're only less than 6 hours travelling away from Yerushalayim, maybe we should be bringing in the Korban Pesach. It seems no. But those friends and relations of ours within the context of Yerushalayim, they got something to worry about. And indeed, the late Lubavitcher Rebbe did tell his followers originally that if they're living in Yerushalayim and its precincts, they should leave it for Erev Pesach and the first day Yom Tov, just in order to get out of this quandary. Apparently later on he retracted and said it's not necessary, but I heard that there are still others nowadays who go specially from Yerushalayim to Haifa or somewhere like that to spend Erev Pesach and the first day in order to get out of this particular problem that maybe we should be bringing the Korban Pesach. So we have there what seems to be a very problematic question. All right, you might say to me, you're a vegetarian and you don't want to eat Korban Pesach, so you deliberately make yourself tomei, but you can't do that. If you deliberately make yourself tomei, then you might still be chayav kores. Everybody has to eat the Korban Pesach. No question about it. So whether you like roast lamb or not, it is a display of our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we learned yesterday in Parshas HaChodesh, V'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'alaylo hazeh v'keisi ko b'char, and it's to show how our acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing this miracle of jumping over the doorposts, u'fosachti aleichem, and we eat the Korban Pesach to show Hashem our emunah.
And if you were vegetarian?
Yeah. Then for that one occasion a year, you will eat the roast lamb, a kazayas, it won't upset you too much. And because you want the zerizus of doing the mitzvah, that will override any of your other beliefs. And as for the animal rights groups, well, we can sort them out as well. So we have a problem here. How do we deal with it? There is a Sefer Kafta v'Ferach which mentions that there was somebody called a Rav Chananel of Paris who lived in the year 5017, which corresponds to 1257, quite a while ago, who wanted to build a Mizbeach, and he wanted to go to Yerushalayim because he felt that there were certain korbanos which he felt could be brought nowadays. I mean, nowadays, that was 1257, some time ago, but he seemed to have been a very soul voice. And He held by the Rambam, who says in Beis HaBechira on Tesayin, if most Israel Tomei, then it's okay to bring. So that was him. But not much mention is given to him in the literature. But there was somebody else who came along, who lived from the year 1795 to 1874. So in the early 1800s, there was somebody called Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha. And he was quite a Talmid Chochom. In fact, he was a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva Eger. And he was also a Talmud of Rakov of Lisov and of Sivas, who was a very great, world-renowned Talmud Chochom, who wrote many Sforim which are famous nowadays. And this Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha said that I cannot see any good reason why we don't bring the Korban Pesach. And he even wrote a sefer about it called Derishas Tzion, which you can see on HebrewBooks.org. And he sets out in quite some detail all his arguments in favor of bringing the Korban Pesach nowadays. Now, when we say nowadays, he lived at the time of the Ottoman Empire when the Turks were governing Eretz Yisrael. But he nevertheless approached the Rothschilds, who were active in rebuilding the issue of Eretz Yisrael, and asked that the Sultan of Turkey be approached and consulted. And he even said to the Rothschild, he said, listen, if you can give us money for this project and you can get us to rebuild just at least the Mizbeach, to bring the Korban Pesach, that will show that you are the Mashiach. Such a false promise. What a promise he gave him. But he wanted to encourage it. And this Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha had a lot of influence in the pre-Zionist world about strengthening the Yishuv and bringing people to Eretz Yisrael. And there was in fact an agricultural school called Mikveh Yisrael, founded by a French group in Eretz Yisrael, named following his request. And there was a kibbutz built in 1937, which is named after him, Kibbutz Tirat Tzvi, which is within the old green line. It's very near the border. And so he became very well known in trying to strengthen Yeshua and bringing Yehudim to Eretz Yisrael. And this was part of his agenda. And he wrote some very compelling arguments why we should be bringing the Korban Pesach nowadays. So that is the question. Now, there were a number of great Rabbonim who opposed him. There was Rabbi Akiva himself, his own teacher, wrote a number of things against what he was saying. Rav Nosson Adler wrote to him. He said that the fixtures of the Beis HaMikdosh, which includes the Mizbeach, as well as the Beis HaMikdosh, will be rebuilt miraculously by Hashem. He quoted Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph and Tosfos Shavuos Tesvov. And the Binyan Sion Rav Yaakov Etlinger was a well-known Rav who quoted the order of events which are set out in Gemara Megillah Yud Zayin Amud Beis as to what will happen when it comes to bringing Korbanos. First, Jerusalem will be rebuilt, then the Malchus Beis Dovid will be re-established, and then the temple will be built, and then the offerings will be brought. So Rav Kalisha answered to this to the Binyan Sion, yes, that's all very well, but you're talking about individuals. If an individual wants to bring a korban, but here we're talking about a korban tzibur. This is a communal thing. Everybody is bringing the korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. And he argued that before Ezra had the second temple rebuilt, already korbanos were being brought.
Yeah.
They put up in the Mizbeach before the actual temple became rebuilt. And the answer back to Rav Kalisha by some others is that there's a Gemara in Zavachim which says that when Ezra came to rebuild, he wasn't sure where the correct position was for the Mokam HaMizbeach, and the Novi came and told him exactly where it is. So in his Rishas Tzion, he sets out his arguments, and he saw the poverty which was going on in Europe and said, if we can bring lots of Jews to Eretz Yisrael and they can work in agriculture, this will also help. And he was quite a visionary, a revolutionary in his day. So there are a number of questions which were addressed on this by Rabbi Akiva Eger, by the Chasam Sofer, by the Chazon Ish later on, as to why we cannot bring Korban Pesach nowadays. So before you phone up your travel agent or go on the internet to book your flight and immediately try to get there in order to bring your korban, hold fire for a moment and forgive the cunt. And let's hear the reasons why the opposition camp were very much against Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha. The first question is the temple area still a holy site? Is it Kutchel Osid Lava? So that is to say that if the temple is no longer a holy site because there's no longer a Beis HaMikdosh on it, then maybe it's pointless to bring a korban on it because it doesn't have the same kedusha. Now, according to the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud, Amud Aleph, there is still a kedusha of Yerushalayim, the temple area, in Osed Lavo. In contrast, the kedusha, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, is regarded lesser as being kadosh nowadays because Rav Yisrael are not in it and other reasons. So there's a debate about whether Eretz Yisrael has the same kedusha as before or whether it still has a kedusha. We once discussed the mitzvah of Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, which does apply nowadays, but as far as the temple area and possibly Yerushalayim are concerned, that was always a different kind of designation of holiness and where the Shekhinah rested. So that even when the temple was destroyed, says the Rambam, there is still the same holiness of the site nowadays, all the way through up to Mashiach. However, the Ravid disagrees, and he says, expresses surprise at what the Rambam says, and he says that's his svara. But because the temple was destroyed, according to the Ravid, there is no kedusha nowadays. Now, if there's no kedusha nowadays, what's the point of bringing a korban on the Temple Mount? It doesn't make any difference if it's the Temple Mount or if it's gold or green. Ah, you'll say to me, okay, then according to the Ravid, I'll bring a korban in gold or green. Hold on a minute. What's the question there? And that is, according to Rav Kalisha, before the original temple was built, even the first temple was built, there was something called a din of bomo. What's bomo? That one was able to build a mizbeach elsewhere from the Temple Mount, even though the Temple Mount was the place. You know, that was the place where Adam Arishan brought, Hevel brought, Noach brought, there was the Akedah. Yeah, all these great events were at the exact Mokam HaMizbeach on the Temple Mount. Yaakov Avinu slept there, remember? So all this was a special place, but now If Rav Kalisha says there is no temple, and according to the Ravad, there is no Kedusha, then surely we return back to the din of Bomor, where originally you could bring an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu somewhere else. I mean, we know about Eliyahu HaNavi, who built a Bomor. So what is the din of Bomor? So there's a Mimon Afshoch in the eyes of Rav Kalisha. Mimon Afshoch means, either way, surely you can win. According to the Rambam, I can go on the Temple Mount, and I can bring a Korban, because it's got the Kedusha, it's got the holiness. If there is no holiness nowadays, I can rely on the Ravad, and I can still go on the Temple Mount, and I can build a Bomor there, and under the din of Bomor, I can bring a Korban Pesach. So the others, including Rabbi Akiva Rega and the Chassan Sofer, are not very happy about this argument. They say to him, listen, the idea of a Bomor is for a Yochid. When the idea was that somebody brings an offering when there was no Beis HaMikdosh and it was allowed to use a Bomor, that was only when it was a Korban Yochid, an individual. But here we're talking about a Korban Sibor. And a Korban Sibor, you have to have the Mizbeach on the Har HaBayis. It's written that it's done according to families, but they explain that it's called a Korban Sibor because the whole Sibor are bringing it at the same time. Collectively, even their different sections and different groups that come at different times and so on and so forth, it's called a Korban Sibor. Rabbi Kivarega says, well, in any case, who are we to decide between the Rambam and the Ravad as to whether there is Kudsha nowadays or not? And according to the Rambam, says Rabbi Kivarega, the Bomos became a permanent Issor once the first temple was built. Once the first temple was built, it nullified the whole concept of Bomor. And when the second temple was destroyed, it did not revert. There was still, even nowadays, there still is an Issur of Bomor. And he points out, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, that the Ravad does not argue with that point of the Rambam. So even though Rav Kalisha relies on the Ravad on the idea of Bomor, the Ravad does not dispute the Rambam, who says there is no allowance nowadays for Bomor.
Didn't people have possible
first
times?
I mean, they shouldn't have done, but didn't some people have them? I
can
remember
it. Well, I mentioned Eliyahu HaNavi, and that was a Harel Shoah, that was to show that against Baal and so on. Yes. But there wasn't Issa even then.
Yes, I think people disobeyed it. I didn't remember it.
All right, well, if they disobeyed it and it was wrong, then that would be no proof anyway. There are a number of arguments which Rabbi Akiva Eger did not respond to of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank much later came along. He was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim in the early days of the Yeshuv, and he wrote a whole kontras in his Haaretz Tzvi to explain why Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha was wrong. And on the more recent editions of the Drishas Tzion of Rav Kalisha, you can actually find this Haaretz Tzvi appended to it, the one which is on HebrewBooks.org, where the arguments of Rabbi Frank are set out straight after. He said that this Moman Afshoch of Rav Kalisha was not okay, and he quoted a Tosfos in Megillah, Daf Yud, that there's no heter nowadays of Bomos, and that was that. So the whole concept of Kedusha is paramount, of understanding whether we can actually do a Korban Pesach nowadays, irrespective of the fact that we've got the din of Tumah Hutrot B'tzibur, or Tumah Dechuyah B'tzibur. We won't go into the difference, but Tumah would be allowed if most of the Jews are Tomei, and the fact that we don't need to have a Beis HaMikdosh, we never get this problem of Kedusha of the land. Another problem is the location of the Mizbeach, which we mentioned earlier, that Ezra needed a Novi to tell him. It must be precise. Now, we mentioned when we discussed ascending the Temple Mount that King Herod actually widened the Har HaBayis. He made it larger because he wanted to bring in more crowds to witness things that are going on. So if you look at the map of the Har HaBayis, you'll notice that it's like a rectangle and not a square, and it's wider at one end than the other end. The original Har HaBayis was a perfect square, and we don't know nowadays exactly where that perfect square is. So even though there are people, including Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha, say, yeah, well, we can measure things nowadays. We've got the Kosel, and we can measure from here, and we can measure from there. We've got the Mishnayos and Middos. But the truth is that there's still a lot of doubt as to where the actual Har HaBayis was, and apart from that, where the actual Mizbeach was. You cannot offer on a Mizbeach if you don't have the precise location. The korban is possible if you do it on a Mizbeach which is in the wrong location. In addition, Rabbi Akiva Eger says is that the amos that we use, you know, we talk about an amor based on a certain number of tefachim and the tefachim based on a certain number of fingers, but we cannot be sure nowadays whether we've got the right measurement of the amor in order to do measurements. Even the Rav Kalisha says, well, we've got the sforim now, which might not have existed previously. There is another complication about the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach has to be built with very straight, perfect stones. There mustn't be any notches in them. Now, how are you going to cut those stones to measure? It will be possible if you use metal. Look at Tosfos Sukkah, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. You can't use metal to cut the stones. So how are you going to cut them? No. Shlomo HaMelech had the Shomer Worm, which we don't have nowadays.
You can use glass fiber and put diamonds to...
Yeah, laser.
Well, yeah, the laser is the argument used by the protagonist nowadays. There is even a website now of korbanpesach.org or something of a group of people who are arguing that we should be bringing the korban pesach nowadays, and they are saying, well, if we can't cut the stones with metal, we got laser beams. All right, very nice. But somehow, I don't think the Gedolim are very impressed with that argument. The other big issue which is brought by Rabbi Akiva Eger and others is the din of kahuna nowadays. Now, I don't want to disappoint you, David, and any other kohanim who are present, that we are not sure about the yichus of kohanim nowadays. But right, but the Rivash writes in Perek Sadi Dalud of his Truvus, HaKohanim Shebedarenu. Our Kohanim nowadays, Einohem Kesav Yichus. They do not have a written sort of proof of Yichus that they are Kohanim. Elab Nechaz Koson. They had a Chazoka. You know, there is a presumption in Halacha that gives them a Chazoka. Nego Ayom Nikro Isham Bataras Kari. So you can call them up for the first Aliyah. We do Pidgin Aben. Okay, we need a Kohen, so you do Pidgin Aben. But they have a Chazoka. A Chazoka by virtue of the fact that it's handed down to them from one generation to another, that they are Kohenim. And the Rambam says that, he writes in Hilchos Trumos, in Perechof Halacha Aleph, that all Kohenim nowadays have a Chazoka, but we only let them eat a Truma Darabono. They can't eat Truma, proper Truma Daraisa. Because, you know, they're not in a state they're in a state of Tumah anyway. But if we would overcome the problem of Tumah, we still have the din of Yichus. Can they prove that they're Kohanim? Now, they are Kohanim nowadays. They'll say, oh, I got DNA to prove I'm a Kohen. Yeah, okay, fine. But what if the Kohen's great-great-grandfather married a Gerusha? A divorced woman, then that stops the lineage of Kohanim, even though it's in his DNA physically. So that doesn't help. So what is the din of Kohanim? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes, he says, you need Eidim to say, this person we know is a Kohen by virtue of the fact that we knew his father and his grandfather was a Kohen. According to Rav Tzvi Esh Kalisha, if you've got four generations, it's good enough. That's enough to prove that the fellow is a Kohen. He said it's not otherwise. Ma'akev, if you haven't got Kohenim Yuchsim, you only got Chazaka, so you make do with what you've got, and that's good enough. But the others disagree with him. And they say, you need Kohenim Yuchsim, it's not simply a Chumrah, and you need that higher standard. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurei Bia that now you've only got Chazoka and we need a higher standard. We need Eidim nowadays to prove that someone is a Kohen for the purpose. Aye, what about Duchening? You know, you're making a Brocha. Maybe the Kohanim are making a bracha on the Vatala if they're not genuine Kohanim. But the Chazanish writes in Hilchos Trumos that for the duties that we have nowadays when it comes to Pidyon HaBen and Duchening and Gerusha, we accept them with a Chazoka, but we don't give them any renewed duties. The duties of old, which were the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdosh, we don't give them anything new. I mean, Rabbi Akiva Eger gave his reasons, but there's another sefer called Shalos Shuvos Beis Ephraim who actually argues that the reason he says why we minimize duchening nowadays in Chutz Laretz, because outside Eretz Yisrael we only duchen on Yom Tov, whereas in Eretz Yisrael you duchen every day, and he suggests because outside Eretz Yisrael people are more dispersed and more assimilated, so there was a greater chance of assimilation and losing the kahuna. So we limit the number of times we duchen outside Eretz Yisrael. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, he seems to be of the view that the yichus might be more reliable. But others disagree with him. Rav Tukachinsky writes on this and say, well, there are many kohanim in Eretz Yisrael who come from Chutz Laaretz. So are you going to disqualify them? That's not really an argument. But the argument is, and the Ravash says this, the Marshal and the Ramah and others, they apply the chazoka is okay for all these duties of pidyon haben and duchening and being called up for the first aliyah, but when it comes to the avoda for kavanos, you need some higher degree of certainty. And that's all you can do. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank brings another argument, and that is this. He says, when you have a new mizbeach, you need to consecrate it. That doesn't mean you advertise in the Jewish Chronicle. It means that when you start off the use of a new mizbeach, you have to have on it the tamid shel shachar. And in order to do the tamid shel shachar, it gets more complicated. You need the machatit shekel. You need the whole community to bring in donations of half a shekel. And then there's, of course, the din of tum and tahara, which, although are relaxed with korban pesach, are not relaxed necessarily with other korbanos like tamid shel shachar. And so the chiddush suggests, well, maybe that's just the din lechatchila, not b'diyeved. But the others don't agree with the chiddush. There is another issue, and that is this. No offerings were brought before the Tomid Shel Shachar, the morning Tomid, and the Tomid Shel Bein Harabayim. So it was between those two Tomid, or Tamidim, that other Karbonos were brought. On the other hand, the argument of that is not so strong, because the Korban Pesach is later in the afternoon after the Tomid Shel Bein Harabayim. So the Korban Pesach is not similar to other Korbonos. So although it's true that in order to have a Mizbeach you need to consecrate it with the Tomid Shel Shachar, you might argue that since the Korban Pesach is different because it's not between the Tomid Shel Shachar and the Tomid Shel Bein Harabayim, therefore you might be consecrating the Mizbeach with the Korban Pesach without the Tomid. That's a different argument, which is another intricate aspect of Kochim, which we're not going to go into further. But there is another thing, and that is the Kohen as an individual, before he brings any Korban, he needs a certain qualification. He needs to be inducted. Now, inducted, what does that mean? He needs to do the Korban Mincha, or what's called the Minchas Chavitin. And at the time he brings this...
Minchas Chavitin, then he turned
Minchas Chinuch. Yeah, the Kohen Gadol is Minchas Chavitin, and there's something called the Minchas Chinuch, not the Sefer Minchas Chinuch, but yeah, the Minchas Chinuch, that's the Kohen Hediot, needs to go through the procedure of bringing that, and he must not be Tomei at the time. So how is it possible for any Kohen Hediot to bring the Korban Pesach if he hasn't been through the induction service, as it were? So, there are some, including Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who suggest that that might be just a din l'chachila, but the yevid, it's okay, but nevertheless, Rav Shlomo Zalman is also not happy about bringing Korban Pesach nowadays, and he writes on this in his very last essay at the end of Chelek Gimel of Minchas Shlomo. There is another aspect which was brought by Rabbi Akiva Eger and others, Chasam Sofer, and that is the big day kahuna, the uniform. Now, Rav Kalisha says, well, it's not makayv if you haven't got the uniform, at least, or we can make it up. He says, good enough, wool, semer, agomon, whatever, semer, pishtim. There is a problem here of shatnas, because the Kohen is wearing shatnas, which he's allowed to wear, or must wear for his avoda, but if it's not a correct avoda, then he's committing an issur d'oraisa wearing shatnas. That's another aspect. But apart from that, to wear the uniform, our last Beigel Shir last month discussed Techeles, and we discussed the doubts about whether we do have nowadays. There are people who are claiming that the snail Murus trunculus is the Techeles, and some people are wearing this blue thread nowadays, but we don't have a Masara for it. The Gedolei Yisrael have not supported it in 95%, and therefore we do not know what the Techeles is, and the big take on it includes the Techeles in the Avonate. So if a Kohen is carrying out avoda, any avoda, including Korban Pesach, without the uniform, then the Mishnah in Zvachim, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, says that what he's doing is not valid. It's like a policeman going on duty without wearing his uniform. He's not really properly on duty. Although he might carry out arrests and so on, he's not functioning properly as a policeman, that people can see him as a policeman. In the case of tzitzis, we said last month that tzitzis eina makeves esalovot, that nowadays we're wearing tzitzis with just white thread, and that is not dependent on the blue thread, and the blue thread is not dependent on the white thread. This is a halacha in the Rambam. But nevertheless, when it comes to the big day kona, it is ma'akev. I came across someone called a Rav David Friedman. I think David's got a secret double life. And the Rav David Friedman, who writes, he quotes from a Mishnah in Menachos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav. He says, "Techeles ragomon v'shoni v'sheish marzom ma'akvin zeh." They all need each other. So even the Rav Kalisha says, well, we can get by with what we've got. No, it's not good enough. You need every single one of those ingredients for the big day kahuna. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank points out in his Harak Tzvi on this that the Tcheles Enoch Shera Elo Minachelozon, that even though there are imitations of Tcheles, the Kala Libun, there was the Rav Leiner we discussed last month, the Regina Rov, who claimed that he had it from the cuttlefish. We showed a picture of what the cuttlefish looked like, and that was disproved. Says Rav Frank, the Tcheles is not called Tcheles, even though it looks like it, smells like it, tastes like it. Well, I won't repeat the joke. So, thank goodness I didn't step into it. Yes?
So, I've got a question. None of these critics, though, have dealt with the Follett Gemara that you quoted right at the beginning, which is the Rabban Gamliel, who lived 100 years after the basemaker was destroyed, told the servant to go and...
right, it, well...
they will get the meat from the corpetta. Now, they must be maintaining, which I don't believe is credible, that he had all the perfect begodim, that he had a perfect kohen miyuchas, that he had his beah.
Well, we can assume that he was already tamei meis. We can assume he was tamei meis, but that's not an impediment. Okay. There was no Beis HaMikdosh, that wasn't an impediment.
Well,
but Rabbi Gamliel... But Rabbi Gamliel, he...
100 years after the Beis HaMikdosh?
Well, we will have to assume that he knew. He knew how to do these things. It wasn't that long after the Churban.
How could he make a Mizbeach? There was no Mizbeach then.
Well, maybe he knew the Mokum on the Mizbeach, and he knew how to build one without any notches in it.
Well, he told his servant go build it.
No, he told his servant to roast it, as if it had already been shechted and there had been the sprinkling of the dam on the Mizbeach, which has to be part of parcel of the Korban. So he must have had a mitzvah. Yeah. Okay. So that refutes the bomber argument.
Do they discuss that and deal with it? If they don't discuss it and dismiss it as credibly as part of their argument, they haven't rebutted it.
It's compelling if we follow the Rambam, who is saying that there is the Kedusha of Harabayis, and we don't accept the Ravad, then you might say that Rabban Gamliel was previous to the Rambam was of that view that there was still Kedusha. Maybe there are others who are not of that view, but he had that view that there was still Kedusha of Harabayis. He knew the position of his Beach, he knew how to build it, he knew what Tcheles carried on for quite a while, for a few hundred years. It's known, if we look into the history of Tcheles and the archaeology and so on, Tcheles carried on for quite a while afterwards with a Masorah. So yeah, we can assume that Rabban Gamliel knew all this. There is another aspect. The Chofetz Chaim writes in something called Likutei Halachos that if you are performing a korban which is tuma d'chuya v'tzibur, a tuma, so you're really not supposed to bring a korban, but because we're tomei, we have this concession because of the majority. In those circumstances, he quotes the halacha where the kohen gadol has to be present. He needs to wear a tzitz, which is machshir kabonos betumo. That means as though there is a hechsher given to the kabonos which have done the tumo if the kohen gadol is present wearing a tzitz, which says on it kodesh lashem on his place where he wears a tefillin. Another point brought by the Chofetz Chaim, which doesn't seem to be very well known, is that during the avoda and the azorah, when you're bringing the korban pesach, you need to have the door open where you've got visibility towards the Kodesh Kodoshim. So even though you're not going into the Chas V'Sholom, into the Kodesh Kodoshim, it needs to be seen. Nowadays, he says, you can't see the position of the Kodesh Kodoshim because it's obscured by a mosque. And that, he says, is compared to the door being closed. And that would disqualify the Korban Pesach being brought. Another interesting idea. So there is another inyan brought down by Rav Etlinger, and that is the idea of Reach Nichoach. As we learned in Parshas Vayikra yesterday, Korbanos have Reach Nichoach, a special fragrance, and there is a midrash which says that Hashem took away the Reach Nichoach from us while we're in Golos. There's no such thing as Reach Nichoach nowadays. And it's in the Klolos in Bechukosai that when we don't keep the mitzvahs, Hashem withdraws from us our Mikdosh and the Reach Nichoach. But the argument against that by the Netziv in Parshas Vayikra is that the phrase Reach Nichoach is not written by Korban Pesach. It's written by the other Korbanos. It's not written by Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is a different idea. It says Mishchu. You draw it and you are fighting against the Avodah Zorah, the idolatry of the Egyptians, and therefore Reach Nichoach is not probably such a question. The Chasam Sofer, in fact, does accept some of Rav Kalisha's arguments. But he says the main problem in his eyes is that we do not have the reshus nowadays to go up on Har HaBayis in order to do it. So even now, since 1967, where we claim sovereignty, and we have Irat Ikar, we've got the old city, what he's saying is very pertinent nowadays. I mean, can you imagine? All right, Rav Shlomo Goren, as soon as the Temple Mount was captured in 1967, he said to the army general, blow this place up. He said, now you can do it, now you'll get away with it, but afterwards you won't. Put a piece of dynamite under the temple Omar Mosque, just blow it up, because he wanted to, you know, set the pace, get things ready for when Mashiach comes. And this army general shook his head, no, I can't do that. And he begged him, and he said to him, listen, Rabbi, if you carry on persisting, I'm going to have you arrested for telling me to do that. And when Moshe Dayan was the Minister of Defense, Moshe Dayan's attitude was more conciliatory. He said, look, the Muslims are there, we don't need the place at the moment, let them carry on with their mosque until the time comes when we want it. And now that there is this peace treaty, there's been this commotion just when Jews tried to go up there to pray. The Rabbanut have still maintained their original announcement that Jews should not go up on Har HaBayis, but there are certain temple faithfuls who claim that it's alright and they want to daven up there, and if you go up there and try and daven, you'll get arrested by the Israeli police. So they're allowing tourists up there, but not for purposes of prayer, unless you're a Muslim. Now, that might be racism, and it's discriminatory against us, but it conforms well to our halacha. But just imagine what would happen if tens of thousands of Jews would converge on Har HaBayis now, with their lambs, with the Kohanim, on the Mizbeach, and all this blood would be sprinkled. Can you imagine what an outroar there'd be? It could lead to a world war. I mean, let's be realistic. We know what reaction there is. Just when Ariel Sharon just once visited the Temple Mount, it started off an intifada, or so that was their excuse anyway. But there was a story of Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld which was brought to my attention by David Levy last night. Rav Moshe Chaim Zonnenfeld, he did seek permission that when the British took over in 1917, the Ottoman Empire ended and the British Empire took over as a mandate. So he realized that there was no chance of getting permission from the Sultan of Turkey, but surely from the King of England, King George, of course he'll get permission. So he approached Herbert Samuel, who was representative of the British government at that time, and he put in a formal request to actually go up on Har HaBayis with view to perhaps bringing the Korban Pesach, and the answer that he got from His Majesty's government was a resounding no. So, apart from that, you can imagine how the animal rights groups are going to behave. So that is the reality of the situation. However much we try, okay, we're learning about it. But if you learn about Korbanos, then it's as if you're bringing it. And so if you're learning about Korban Pesach, and we're not able to do it, for one or two reasons, or a number of multitude of reasons, we're not able to do it, but hopefully soon, speedily in our days, we shall be having our Korban Pesach, our roast lamb, eating it with relish, even the vegetarians, in a rebuilt Jerusalem.
I hope you mean relish, and not the relish.